meeting in February where we talked about how procurement was impacting the tollway. And we did a very detailed assessment of how we're handling things internally and externally. There's a lot more layers of approval. There's a lot more steps that we have to take in order to get a contract ready to go. We have a lot more forms to fill out. Our consultants and our contractors have a lot more forms to fill out, and they're not always as simple and straightforward as you'd like them to be. And there's people outside the agency. We have others besides tollway people who have to review these awards and see if, you know, the tollway can and allow the tollway to move forward with them. John has developed and is implementing some internal actions, and we've been helping them in engineering, trying to streamline some of the procurement steps that we do control. He's also been working with the external interest to try to see if we can streamline their processes for them. And one thing I wanted you to know, though, that everyone within the building here, all departments at the tollway, are fully dedicated to getting this program going and getting these jobs out on the street and delivering these benefits that we promised in the Move Illinois program. And one of the ways that we could manage this risk, or we can manage the risk, is through the size and duration of our contracts. So here you see, under CRP, this happened a lot, and our more traditional approaches, we wouldn't necessarily have large contracts. We'd have small contracts. We'd make them narrowly focused and scoped, but we had an ability to make changes to those contracts if it was necessary, to respond to the things that we know are going to happen in the field that we haven't thought of yet. And that's both on, dollars, contract value dollars, and also on time, allowing the contracts to go longer than they would maybe originally scoped. But now, even small changes like that, we have to go through that procurement process again. So going through the procurement process multiple times, we know it's going to exponentially increase the delays that we're going to be faced with. And you know, as I mentioned, even with the breakdown we have right now, it's going to be at least 600 contracts in Move Illinois in order to get that work delivered. So the ramifications of procurement delays are going to be huge. We have, and I talked to Mike Kelsch about this, and we evaluated that. I mean, under the worst case scenario, if we miss a year of construction where I don't get the jobs advertised in time, or we don't give the contractor notice of proceeding time in order to finish the work before the end of the construction season, if we had to push off $1 billion worth of work early in the program, it would cost the tollway $500 million by the end of the program. There's just going to be no way to recover those costs. And that means, you know, either we got to downscope the program or, you know, we got to try to get additional money.
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you, but I just wanted to stop on this slide for a moment because we, we're certainly planning, and we've heard clearly the direction from the board concerning, contract size and wanting to have as much competition as possible and facilitate competition. But really we're raising, I know Paul said this is one way we could mitigate the risk, but really we're raising this as just the a concern right now. We're trying to figure out a way to meet both the goal and manage the risk, and wanted to have a little bit of discussion this month with all of you on this point, because we are going to be coming back to, I think, a joint committee meeting next month to talk about, you know, unbundling, for instance, generally, and certainly we've heard loud and clear the clear commitment to that from everyone, and I think we also think that that's a very important element of what we should be doing. But just wanted to make sure we paused here to kind of get some feedback from all of you.
Well, in the past, before the procurement changes, at this point, on those contracts we approved in December, they would theoretically could be working on those projects today or starting.
Yes, and I mean, I feel like we're in summertime right now with the weather that.
So
do
I.
And I don't have any construction contracts going yet. So ideally, you know, we would have gotten them going as soon as possible, and those construction contracts are linked to the construction manager contracts. So it's like it really will put us in a bind, you know, if we don't get both of them approved, you know, in the time frame that we needed to. And you know, instead of 30 days, it's taking at least 70 right now, and there's some instances where it's going up to 90.
Do you have in these contracts? Obviously, you've got some timelines, but are there penalties in those timelines to the contractors if they don't complete on those timelines?
Yes, but, you know, if I don't give them notice to proceed by the dates that we told them they would get notice to proceed by, then it's on me. It's on the tollway to pick up the tab for that. I could make a decision to try to buy back that time by, you know, making them work extra overtime or weekends to get the work done so we can stay on schedule. But, you know, at some point in the year...
If you do that now, you have to then adjust the contract accordingly.
Yes.
We have a cost to the tollway, yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, yeah, now, if we go, I don't want to dominate time here, but if we go now to a larger contract with longer duration, we're going in the opposite direction of what we've been trying to accomplish, which is smaller contractors, minority contractors, getting a shot at some of this work.
And that's the pressure that we're under right now. It's trying to make both things happen. When we know, you know, if I have, instead of 600, I try to change it to 1,200, I mean, the potential for delays is real. It's real. That's what I wanted to get across to you all.
And you could get a contract approved, a portion of it, but it'd all be delayed by unbundling one portion of those contracts, having a problem someplace along the line.
Yes, we will have to be very strategic about how we link these individual projects together so that that doesn't happen, and in some cases they might be unavoidable.
In the Move Down the Right program, the $12 billion program, were there estimates built in for the new transparency and accountability that has been put on us by other entities? Was that in there? Was that projected in our cost, or is that a new cost that we're kind of trying to catch up with now and understand?
No, we were not anticipating. I mean, we knew there were going to be additional hurdles, I think, but we were not anticipating that it was really going to take this long. So that is not included.
That's not in there.
And that's what I was saying. If we shift the program over, the whole program over 1 year, that's a $5 million hit we're taking. $500 million hit we're taking.
It may be too early to tell, but in the time that the new process is working, the procurement process, do you feel as if we're discovering things that we haven't known before? I mean, I know what I'm trying to get at is the purpose of the Procurement Act was to try to make sure that every I was dotted, T was crossed, there weren't going to be ethical problems. And I'm just curious, as this is going forward, are they helping us discover things that we wish we had seen ourselves in that process?
I mean,
I know it's a trick question.
Yeah, I know. I can just tell you that so far, every contract has eventually been approved, so without changes. So, I can't say one way or the other.
But it's what happens in that time period, asking you questions about what's in the contract and reviewing the things that, like, your procurement process has already done?
It's the vendors, too. The vendors are responding. I think a big aspect of this process is, you know, they do a lot of financial disclosures now. And in those financial disclosures, there's rules are set aside for how you identify potential conflicts of interest, and there's ways to handle them. But the volume of some of these disclosures, and the first time that maybe a contractor or consultant goes through this process, is a big learning curve. And I think, you know, with the rules being revised, kind of as we're going along right now, even the transition to something new is going to be extremely detrimental to the schedules.
I think one of the things you noted in the beginning was there's several more agencies involved in the process than there was previously.
Yes.
Do these agencies operate in series or in parallel? And the question I would have, regardless of the answer there, is are you aware of where they're resting at any particular moment in time?
I think those, you hit a couple key challenges there. I don't know. Like I said, everyone within the tollway now is getting a big education on what this whole procurement process means and what all these different terms are and how to keep track of it. And we're trying to improve what we do internally as best we can. There is a website where these documents get posted. I believe, though, like John Donato described, These things will go to the EDC or the, our chief procurement officer, then they go to CMS, then they go to another step beyond that, and then they kind of have to come back through again to come back to us. So I don't think they're necessarily operating in parallel. I think it's in series. And it's just, you don't know how long it's going to take. That's the really challenging part.
But that, again, go back to the second question. Do you know where something is sitting at any given time?
I think, you know, we make calls, we follow up on the critical ones, and then others at the tollway make calls above me to try to see, you know, what can be done, or what if there's anything that we can do to help them, you know, conduct a review faster for us. And
but there's not necessarily one ball in court system right now that where you can see exactly where something is. So it is, you know, a combination of checking the systems that exist, but also kind of manually, or, you know, individuals bird dogging something through the process.
So has the Department of Transportation experienced the same level of delay?
You know, I haven't heard that. They do have a different procurement officer than we do. And also, they had relief from some of the various requirements of that procurement legislation. And one of those was, like, they did not necessarily have to report on subcontractors below the first tier, whereas, you know, we don't have that relief.
And is federal, are federal dollars also subject to this, or are they exempted in IDA?
It was certainly one of the reasons that I sought the relief or the justification for some of that relief. You know, in addition to just, you know, generally the opportunities for, you know, delays and the impacts of those delays. So, but one of the, as you may recall from some of you who saw the earlier presentation from John, one of the legislative changes that we're seeking and working with our CPO and the General Assembly on is some, you know, in some situations more of an alignment with IDOT. We have, you know, we share a vendor and contractor community, so people get used to doing it one way here, and then they have to change and do it a different way for the tollway. And that impacts particularly, I think, the small and mid-sized companies where there's, you know, not the capacity of a whole arm of their operation dedicated to doing this type of work. So it definitely has that kind of impact. But they are treated slightly differently.
And I know IDOT is, you know, we're trying to deliver $12 billion worth of work, and I don't think IDOT has, you know, that type of program, not in District 1 anyway.
Paul, on that point, though, I mean, as at some point at the federal level, sanity is going to come back to Washington, and we're going to get a federal highway bill. And when IDOT does get that, and the delays have created this backlog for IDOT of work as well, we'd be competing in those same channels to try to get the work through. This, there's got to be some sort of relief given to both IDOT and the tollway for this to work properly, or to meet your timelines.
Yeah, man, and I think that's the major message I'm trying to deliver right now, is that, you know, we're seeing this happening, and it's happening early in the program, and I don't want to downplay the significance of it to you.
Okay.
So on our end, though, what we've been trying to do is make sure we get the right resources on at the time that we need them, and we know that's going to be critical. And a prime example of this is the Elgin O'Hare corridor. That's on the next slide. This project represents about a quarter of the whole Move Illinois program, and the complexity on this particular corridor is enormous. We have a lot of municipalities involved in this work, along with IDOT, and also we have to coordinate with the Federal Highway Administration and a lot of regulatory agencies. We're looking for local contribution on this contract, so that's a big challenge for us. We have environmental work that still, the permits aren't approved yet. You know, we're expecting to get the record of decision by the end of this year, but if we don't get a record of decision, we can't start the work.
The record of decision comes from the federal government.
Yes.
But Paul, didn't President Obama yesterday sign a decree, an executive order, to expedite those?
I saw that was included in that highway bill, and right. That's very encouraging.
Paul, speaking of delays, the $300 million there for local contribution, you mentioned working with multiple, with many municipalities in that area. What's the timeline for them to commit that financial commitment to this Elgin O'Hare project? And is that going to hold this up with the design of this if we don't get that local contribution? Where are we with that?
Well, I can tell you on our side, we want to get this corridor manager on board. We want to do some of the advanced design work. We want to be in a position so when that money does come through and when we make that decision to move forward, we will be ready because, as I said, it takes a year to get design ready so that we can actually start construction. So I don't think we're holding back on the design effort, but as far as the commitment on when the date is, I would have to defer to Christy or...
Yeah, I guess my concern is the locals have said that they want to contribute to this and they want this and they pledge certain dollars. But I guess, are we going to hold them accountable? Are we going to, you know, we want to make sure they've got something, some skin in the game, so to speak, that they're involved in this process, that they've got some financial commitment that they verbally have given us. I want to know, if we get too far down the line, then how are we going to...
You lose all your leverage.
And that's what I'm trying to understand, where we are with that. But, okay.
Paul, if I might, I've been involved with this, and I happen to know that right now there's a lot of work that's going on. In fact, out lobbying, and from Director Sweeney's mouth to God's ears, may sanity be restored in D.C. But that being said, there's an effort right now to tap into federal dollars to help match or to help meet part of that $300 million burden. Director Peterson, I think he used the term that the locals wanted to put in. I'm not sure that wanted was part of it, but have agreed to it. And we're trying to fill that void, and there's an active negotiation and work that's going on to actually fill that $300 million. It's a big nut, and people are trying to do it. At every level, government's trying to do more with less. There are less resources, and so there's some creative options that are going into that. I think, from my perspective and the negotiations and the discussions I've had, I'm cautiously optimistic that that will happen, and it'll happen in a timely manner so that we can move forward. I think, you know, if we look at Paul's last slide, the amount of delay that we're incurring that perhaps wasn't anticipated when we started this process or when the program was laid out, I think it's even more incumbent upon this board to be aggressive in continuing to pursue this, because we see any delays that we have in the front end are only going to be exacerbated by what we're running into here. So I appreciate the issue, and the $300 million local match is a big issue, and it's one that's being dealt with and we're going to deal with, but I think that we need to, based on the discussions that Christie's been having and negotiating with these local partners, I'm confident it's going to happen and happen in a timely manner. So,
has there been any use or investigation of public-private partnerships on some of these interchanges that are trying to be funded by the local government? So you partner with the developers somehow that would be utilized, benefiting from the improvements in the land, that would be adjacent to an interchange.
I'm not sure that the municipalities have gone that route, but to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure that I'm 100% privy to how they're dealing with their end of it. And I know that the interest you've shown in that, in other projects as well, and I know it's something that's kind of on the radar of this board and probably other entities. So,
I think the other thing that had been done when the economy was better were impact fees, which was a variation on that, and it's come up under a bunch of different names, but it's really about if there is economic development in this community, should the community use some of that growth to be able to support filling that gap? And it's just critical to us for this project to get it done and to get it done quickly to get the commitment from the local government for that amount.
Well, as Director Peterson said, is there a point where there are a timeline where we drop dead date to community and say, if you're not going to participate, we're just going to bypass you?
Well, we do have, our plan was to probably at next month's board meeting, we'll be bringing, that design corridor management, contract to the Finance Committee and ultimately to the board. And we can talk through the next couple of slides here, but, that work will lead us to a point where we're putting bids out for actual construction and, tearing things up and breaking ground and doing work, hopefully next year is our original target. So it might be something that we consider, you know, moving forward with some of this planning work, because as we said, this an early delay now or putting this off now would really have a major impact. I know that Chair Cronin is in Washington, D.C. right now and doing some additional work to try to, you know, leverage some dollars there. And I think that there's still a strong commitment that this project is important to all of the locals. So it might be something that we should go through the rest of the slides, but, you know, maybe we'll keep an eye on it and revisit it, too, as we get a little closer to those bids and those lettings for the actual construction in 2013.
And that's what I'm trying to do is put us in a position so that we can meet our commitments under the Move Illinois program, which said start construction in 2013. So in addition, in this quarter, 600 parcels have to be purchased. So that is a huge effort that we haven't faced before in any of the CRP programs or corridors.
This is really the earliest we've taken on a project. Would you say, Paul, to take kind of the lead on a project? I mean, we're continuing to partner with the Illinois Department of Transportation, but for us to be this involved this early on is really, you know, something that hasn't necessarily happened for previous projects.
Yeah, and that's absolutely correct. I mean, typically there's a phase one, a phase two, and a phase three. Phase one is all the planning and develop the concept, get the permits. Everybody agrees this is what you can do, and that's what happened on the South Extension. We got that approval. Phase two, that's when the tollway would get involved. Do the actual design plans and specs and advertise that work. And phase three, build the stuff. You know, get it delivered. So we're kind of getting involved in the phase one process, which, you know, that's kind of a new involvement for us.
But I do think that it has some benefits too, because ultimately these are projects that the tollway would take on or could take on. And for us to be this involved this early means that we think about things like where toll equipment would be located and, you know, some of these things that are contemplated and that we think about, you know, how traffic behaves when something is a tolled road versus things the Illinois Department of Transportation might think about, which would be a little bit, some different consideration.
Okay, Nancy. So what steps are we taking to put us in a good position to be successful on this corridor? And that's get this corridor manager on board. We plan to bring that to the board next month. And we want to focus on getting the most value that we can out of this corridor manager. We are refining the scope right now, and we're going to include some items in there that traditionally maybe the corridor manager on our previous CRP work didn't have to get involved with, but we want them to do some of the advanced design work so that we can meet our commitment for 2013. We don't have other designers on board right now, so we're going to test them with that. We want them to finish up that phase one work. We want them to get started on the utilities, the right-of-way, the environmental permits, getting those finalized, and some of the geotechnical work. So those are the traditional risks. We need them to start doing that in a big way on this corridor. And we know it's a big project. We know it's going to require a lot of people. And we need to get them in place in time to do all the work to meet our construction commitments. So while the board's going to see some big contracts like this, I don't want to give you the impression that that's all we're going to have are these big type corridor projects. Because just on the Elgin O'Hare, and this is on the next slide, just on the Elgin O'Hare in the first 5 years, it's looking like 25 to 30 other contracts just for the engineering aspect of it. We know we're going to need multiple design engineers to work on it. That's going to have dollar values from $1 million to $10 million. We know we're going to need construction managers for the individual projects. That's another $1 million to $20 million. We are going to have design upon request. We're going to have utility coordination and engineering contracts, land act contracts, geotechnical services, survey, and some other miscellaneous things. And eventually we're going to bring on the construction corridor manager for the construction phase. So that's just in the first 5 years. And we know just with the level of detail that we have built into the master program schedule right now, 600 contracts are coming. So looking ahead, we're going to focus on the procurement changes and take actions that we need to take in order to keep the program moving. Over the next few months, the board can expect to see some of these major foundational type contracts that I discussed, the corridor managers and the program management office. We're going to continue to refine and develop that master program schedule so we could have a solid baseline for our program and have some controls over the schedule and the costs, and we have some meetings scheduled with the other departments of the tollway. We've been working very closely with finance on it right now, and we're going to expand that to include all the other departments. This program, this is an exciting program. It's a fantastic opportunity to be a part of it. We know we're doing something good for the tollway. We know we're doing something good for our customers who drive on our road, and we know we're going to do something great for the public in general with this program. So we're up to the task. If you have other questions.
Questions or comments?
I would say that, again, we're trying to be very proactive in managing everything as best we can. We do have, as mentioned, some legislation that's pending in Springfield right now to do things like maybe some process improvements so that, for instance, some of these disclosures where conflicts are identified and where they are where they've been previously approved or where they've been conflicts have made it through the process and there's been a finding that it doesn't represent a real conflict or there's not a problem with the conflict, that the same vendor doesn't have to put the same conflict back through the process over and over and over again, for instance. You know, just some process refinements. We also have JCAR rules, which are really the implementation of the legislation that are pending right now. There is an opportunity, and the CPO, we've been attending public hearings. As mentioned, John Donato is actually doing some work right now to articulate how those rules will impact our program and how we might seek some relief through the rulemaking process. There is an opportunity for the Chief Procurement Officer to agree to some of those modifications in that rulemaking. Again, I think we all want to maintain the integrity of the procurement process and make sure that it's open and transparent. But, you know, there may be some modifications as we've seen how the legislation has been implemented or how the program has been rolled, how the procurement changes have been rolled out and implemented, potential opportunities for improvement that don't necessarily negatively impact, you know, that desire that we all have to make sure that the public can have great confidence in all of the procurements that we do and all of the purchasing that state entities and public entities do. So that Senate bill is 3634, but we know that there are others. The Illinois Chamber has introduced some legislation. Others have introduced legislation to seek some improvement some of the reforms that were implemented passed a couple of years ago. So we think that there'll be some consensus effort, hopefully, to get something that everybody can agree on as some potential improvements there.
Is there anybody coordinating or leading the way in Springfield in particular?
From the legislator's perspective? Yeah. The Illinois Chamber is really coordinating with a lot of, you know, we're also working with them. I know that state government generally is also working through the coordination efforts through central management services and some of the other agencies that are impacted. The Illinois Chamber has taken a strong lead on this because obviously they have a broad spectrum of businesses that they represent who can see the opportunities for maybe some improvement here that again doesn't negatively impact the intent of the reforms.
So the two big takeaways here are how do we make sure that the procurement activities are fast enough but also pure enough, and then the second is on the Elgin O'Hare, making sure that we get our commitment. And I want to thank Director Reddick, who has stepped up and is really becoming involved in the Elgin O'Hare corridor and the work that we're doing there to take responsibility to make sure that we think about this the right way and to work with the local leaders. So thank him. And we offer the opportunity to anybody else who would like to help on that. Anything further on this? Thank you, Paul, for the presentation. Okay, I go ahead.
Just one more mention for me is that, let's see, we have our annual report, 2011 annual report. You should all have a copy of that. I know Paula mentioned it. We do have a professional services networking event coming up. We're going to be hosting a networking event for prospective tollway vendors to meet and greet and learn about tollway opportunities on Tuesday at the Lombard Westin. We'll make sure, I'm not sure if that notice has gone out to directors, but we'll make sure that it does if it hasn't. We've already had nearly 200 people pre-register to attend, so it is being very well received and people are anxious for this work, and I think companies are taking the right approach to be very proactive about, you know, trying to network and gain some business opportunities and development opportunities through the program. So any of you are welcome to join us. I will be there speaking for a very short period of time, hopefully. But it's, I think, going to be a great event there. Quick update on Green Oaks. Last month's meeting, the Tollway Board approved the intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Green Oaks. We did, I think, come to some conclusions there and have begun work. The Village approved that IGA, or the intergovernmental agreement, in February, and we're beginning that work now in partnership with the Village to make some improvements on that corridor. The Village will be 100% responsible for the cost of the work adjacent to the work that was already going on that corridor. So those additional improvements, they're going to be 100% responsible for. I want to thank also Director Peterson for his interest in that project. And I know that's up in your neck of the woods, and wanted to thank you for your work on that as well. So work on that section is expected to begin in April.
Anything else?
Not for me.
Okay, let's turn to the consent agenda then. Under finance, the number one, Director Reddick is recusing himself, so we'll take that one separately. May I have a motion?
So
second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any extensions? That passes. Then let's take 2 through 4 under finance. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any extensions? Business systems, we can take that one.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? That passes. I think on procurement, we can take all 5 together. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And engineering, we're going to vote for 2, 3, and 5 because, as Mr. Peterson had mentioned, there are several that will take separately because the committee did not act on those. So may I hear a motion for 2, 3, and 5, please?
So moved. Second again.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Let's take item 1, Paul. Do you want to talk about that quickly, the bid?
Sure. So item 1, you know, I couldn't recommend award to the committee last week because we had just opened bids the day before that committee meeting. We hadn't completed our bid review. And every one of our construction contracts, our designer of record, the person who seals the plan, reviews the bid. And so there's our program management office. That has been done now. And I've got assurances that, you know, this is a valid bid and they're, you know, it's balanced and it's awardable. So I do want to recommend it now. And it's for the construction of our interchange at James Adams Memorial Tollway, that's I-90 and Illinois Route 47. Cloti Construction was the low bidder at $35,708,679.81. That bid came in very good. It's under our budget, and also they're meeting our DB commitment on this particular contract. You know, the reason why we took an exception and scheduled our bid to be open, you know, the day before committee is because we really want to get this project going. We don't want to incur any other delays on it. And also, we had a conflict with an IDOT bid. So we do try to schedule our bids so they don't correspond or coincide with the exact same dates as IDOT so that the contractors can give us all their attention and focus. And we did get 5 good competitive bids on this, so that was worthwhile. And we always hold up this interchange as one of our shining examples of how the interchange policy can work for people. We partnered with IDOT, King County, McHenry County, and also the Village of Huntley. I know they're all super excited to have this work started finally, and we're looking forward to getting it done too.
Could you also explain 4, and then we'll take those 2 together?
Sure. And 4, I did recommend award, but it had a bid protest that was under review by the state's chief procurement officer. That bid protest has been resolved now, and we have been given to move forward with it. So I am recommending award, and it's a construction contract to upgrade our fuel systems, and we're doing it at 10 locations. So we have fuel systems at all of our maintenance facilities. We also have a fuel system at the central administration building here. And we haven't done any major work on these fuel systems since 1989. We have been incurring a lot of breakdowns, and we know it's in substandard condition right now. Stenstrom Excavation and Blacktop Group was the low bidder at $3,597,432. They are committing to exceeding our DB goal, They're going to be a new prime contractor. I think part of the bid protest was, you know, the other bidders didn't feel they gave us a valid bid. We know them because they have done subcontract work for us before. They also have extensive experience in this type of work. So I got approvals or recommendations from both the program management office and once again the designer of record saying this bid is good and you can move forward with it. So that's what I'm recommending today.
Okay, thank you. May I hear a motion on those two?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And then on legal, we're going to defer item number two, which is a workers' comp settlement that we'll do in executive session, and we'll come back if we approve it to do it in open session, but let's take number one. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? That passes as well. Thank you. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? Okay, I think what we'll do, if it's okay, is to hear the motion to go into executive session. We'll vote on that one. We'll take a short break and come back and do executive session. Is that okay with everybody?
Any motion?
Thank you, Chair. We'd accept the motion to seek executive sessions to discuss litigation, employment matters, various personnel matters pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, Section 2C1, 2C2, and 2C11.
Can I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, we will go into executive session. We'll be back maybe if we can do this quickly in 7 minutes. Okay, please. Yeah. Oh, and I made coffee cake this morning, so help yourself.